I may have been a Joe's youth pastor for a time, but man, he's got me beat on the beard game. Let's just call it for what it is. Man, I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where someone acts like, you know, they know you and you just want to look at them like, man, you don't know the last thing about me. We work with students a lot. And I think like this summer we'll have about 55,000 junior high and high school kids is what we had in an 8-week period. That's a lot. Okay. That's just a lot. The teachers here are like, holy smokes, it's a lot. And we have to take care of their like lodging, their food, all of it. It's great. I love it. And honestly, New Life's a big part of that. But we were there one week, and I don't know what a speaker said from stage. I honestly, there's something going on. I was over taking care of it. I was in like business mode of trying to solve a problem. And I don't know what the speaker said that was offensive. But I had this kid come up to me afterwards, and he just started unleashing on me. I mean, just going at me. Well, you're like this, and you're this, and you're this. I mean, just like, and I'm like reeling in that moment. I mean, it's just like you. And I finally just stopped for a second. I said, hey, man, do you know my name? And he's like, no. I was like, do you know anything about me? Like, no. Have we ever had a conversation before, even at all? Have we ever even spoken, ever interacted before? No. I was like, now how do you know so much about me? Like, I just look at it sometimes, and I'm like, you have no clue who I am. My mom passed away last year about this time, and my kids were dumbfounded when they started going through all the old pictures, and they're like, oh, wow, she used to be young. Yes, she used to be young. Like, we thought she was born a grandma. And like, all this stuff starts getting revealed, like, she was a beauty queen? Yes, she was. Like, wow, we didn't know that about her. Oh, she was a butcher? Like, yeah, she owned her own butcher shop. Like, no, not Granny. Like, yeah, Granny had a butcher shop. She ran it by herself. Very successful business owner. Like, all the stuff. It's got her holding these plaques. Like, she sold real estate. Was like one of the top realtors in the area. Like, they're just dumbfounded by all this stuff about her. Because to her, it's like the grandma that bought way too many toys and like threw them down the stairs at kids. That kind of grandma. Yeah, that was excessive. But it was just fascinating as they start learning more about her. Even with me. I mean, some of you guys, I've been here with you guys as a church on several different occasions, but at some level, like, some of you guys, you're seeing me for the very first time. Now, you can make some basic assumptions. My name's Jason French, okay? So you can make the assumption that, hey, I probably know that what? No, I'm not French at all, okay? That's the crazy thing. I took an ancestry test. Actually, I took a couple of them, and I am actually 0.0000 with no other thing there percent French. Not an ounce. Not a tiny little bit. Now, part of it's like, well, how's that work out? Because sometimes, man, when you only know part of a person, you never really get to know their story. Here's the truth of the matter, and I say this as a part of my testimony. If I seem really comfortable talking about this, it's because I'm just comfortable with it as a person. I've come to terms with it. I get it. It's part of my life, part of my story. I'm a product of a one-night stand. Like, truly, that's how I came to this earth. You know, my mom had an affair. She was on a trip down in Texas, had an affair one night, shouldn't have done it. Guy also cheated on his wife, and I'm the product of that one night. And in fact, my mom was on her way to abort me and had to literally tell her best friend, turn the car around. I can't do this. I cannot do this right now. And so she turned the car around, eventually went through divorce. I was born. I got no French. None of there. Okay, it's okay to laugh. It's all right. I'm very comfortable with that. I am 40% Scottish, okay? I learned that. But I started this whole journey of trying to figure out, okay, who am I? So I took a couple of DNA tests and just started putting together my story, trying to figure out, like, in terms of identity, where do I come from? Like, I know a one-night stand, but there's got to be more to me than that. Started putting that story together. And even recently, reached out to somebody that I realized later on was like my biological father. Of all things, you'll be the first people to hear this out loud besides my family. On July 28th, I'm in right outside of Dublin, Ireland, running an event for CIY. And it's like wee hours in the morning. Just got through doing supervision of a bunch of high school kids who are being complete idiots. I think it's okay to say that. It really is. And they would admit it. They were being complete idiots. And I finally get back to my room. It's like 2:00 in the morning. We finally got them down to bed where they're not being complete morons. Everything's calming down a little bit. And then my phone lights up. And this lady says, hey, I think you're right. I think I might be your sister. It's crazy when we meet people. And we try to figure out their identity. I mean, you see a guy that's retired and you have no idea what he or what she has done in her life. the pain they've gone through, the trials, the good times, the bad times. We see people in this room. We pass them in the hallway. We pass them in this room. They're a row behind you, a row in front of you. Man, we don't really know. And it's interesting as we start trying to shape people's identity, trying to figure out who they are and where they come from. We put titles to them, but those titles don't often describe everything about them. I mean, for some of you, you see that phrase, dad. Maybe that represents something in your life. For me, I don't want to say it's a point of pain. I just say it's a point of like no connection for me. For some of you, it's mom, and that's a powerful moment in your life, being a mother. For some of you, it draws you back to remember a mom that you've got now, or maybe a mom that's passed away like mine. Like some of these names, some of these titles, they mean something in our life. For some of you, husband. For others, wife. For some of you, this has been a point of joy. For others, it's been an absolute source of pain, no doubt. What about sister? Man, I found out I got a sister. That's weird. I told my wife, I was like, hey, I just gotta come clean. I'm texting back and forth some woman I don't know, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't do that. I think it's okay because she's my sister. Seems weird to me, warming up to it. She's like, I think that's okay. But yeah, we're learning, okay? We're figuring it out as we go along. Or for some of you, brother. For some of you, that's an amazing thing. You love your brother. For others of you, brother is a source of abuse in your life. Maybe it's son, or maybe it's daughter. And maybe this is a point of absolute joy in your life. Or for some of you, you've learned that raising adult kids is tenfold harder than raising teenagers. And you know that son can be a point of pain and agony as you pray, or daughter, and watching the struggles that she goes through is hard. I mean, we could flip through these and we could talk about coach or doctor or builder or teacher. We talk about people in our lives that have been helpful and people in our lives that have been hurtful. We can talk about the people in our lives who have been absolute encouragers, man. And then we know the people in our lives that, man, if we were going to give them a title, it would be discourager. We know people in our life who were available. We know times when we were available. And we know people in our lives who are absent. And I'm sure there are times, if we're going to be honest in our life, where we have been absent. We know the funny. We know the serious. We know the here and we know the gone. And at the end of the day, there are all kinds of titles that describe us. All kinds of titles and phrases that we can put to who we are. But at some point, we always ask the question, man, do you even know me? I think God asks that same question. Do you even know me? I mean, you're comfortable saying my name, Jesus. And you call me Savior. My question is, man, do you know who I am? Do you understand who I am? So today and tonight, what we're going to do this weekend is I want to introduce in this greater theme of grow. I want to introduce you to some other sides of God. Maybe some attributes of who he is, some names that you may not even know to call him, that really for some of you are going to ring true in your heart and true in your life. You're going to be like, man, I didn't know that he went by that name. Just like I go by the name at times, boss, I've gone by the name employee, I've gone by the name father, uncle, dad, all kinds of names, all kinds of titles. I've used coach, I've used this name, that name, and every one of those moments in my life to find something unique about who I was in that place and in that time. And I think if I can be so bold, but also so gentle and gracious as I say this out loud, I think the name Jesus, while powerful, doesn't always tell the full story of who he is. So let me introduce you a little bit. We meet him first of all, and his name is Jehovah. He introduces himself in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, and he says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they are created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And very often, very early, he introduces who he is. And he uses this thing, we call it the tetragrammaton, and you don't need to remember that word. You don't need to remember what it means. Let me just tell you what it is, okay? We truly don't know how to pronounce the name of God. We don't know how. No one knows how to say it. It's one of those words that all we have are four letters. We have YHWH. And maybe you're like, I didn't know that. Like, we know, we think it's Yahweh, but that's honestly a best guess. We've actually put vowels in there because when they wrote that word throughout all of history, they would never write all of it. It was so sacred that they would not write the full name of God. And in fact, his name was so sacred, his name was so holy, that usually what the priest would do is they would go off and completely bathe their bodies and take a time to confess their sin. So if they're writing, you know, transcribing, writing the manuscripts, you know, year after year, they would write these things out before they would write his name. They would literally go take a bath. Then after they took a bath, they'd take a time to completely purify their lives. And then they had a special pen that they would only use to write his name. They could write the rest of it with any pen, but anytime it came to writing his name, a very special utensil. And then after they wrote his name, they would step away from the manuscript. They would take time to pray. You know how many times the word Lord is mentioned in Scripture in the Old Testament? It's everywhere. They did this every time. And in fact, after they wrote his name, they would go through, they'd take a special time of prayer, they would completely bathe themselves, go back through the whole process, and eventually when they felt like, man, they had revered his name enough, they would come back and write it again, but they would only write four letters. They didn't feel like they were holy enough to write it all. So they wrote YHWH. From the time we meet him, from very often, so we call that Yahweh, or we've used like names like Jehovah, words like Adonai as we meet him. And I'm going to walk you through very early on in Isaiah chapter 42. He says, I am the Lord. That's my name. I will not yield my glory to another. We meet him and he calls himself Ego Me. When Moses is trying to figure out, well, I'm going to go talk to this guy named Pharaoh who's persecuting, who's hurt my people. You know, this Egyptian, you know, king, this Pharaoh was hurting the Israelites. And he tells Moses, go set my people free. And Moses is like, well, who do I say sent me? And he says, I am who I am, Ego Me. I am who I am. You tell him I am. And so different times we meet his name in different ways, whether it's Yahweh, whether it's Ego Me, whether it's Adonai, whether it's Jehovah. And I want to walk you through a few names that I want you to hold on to. Because I think sometimes when all you know him as is Jesus, while that is sufficient, that is everything, and it is all, I think there's some dimensions of him that if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, it's going to help if you know a little more dimension, a little bit more about who he is and who he remains. Let me introduce you a few names here. First of all, he calls himself Jehovah Jireh. In English, we just call that the provider. I mean, some of us understand that in our homes. We know what it's like to provide for our kids, provide for our families, and that's a name that God holds dear. He calls himself and says, I am the provider. It shows up originally with a guy named Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Abraham climbs this mountain thinking that he's going to have to sacrifice his son. When he gets to the top of the mountain, God provides. He provides an alternate sacrifice in this ram. And he says, I'm the provider. My name is Jehovah Jireh. I'm the God who shows up and takes care of things. I provide. And we'll find later on in Scripture is that it'll be his own son who will climb a mountain and provide for our atonement, our life, our sin through his body. He's a provider. Let me tell you, when you find yourself in a place in life where you need help, I don't care if that's financially, I don't care if that's with your health, I don't care if that's in your business, maybe it's in your home, in your marriage, do you know you have a God who wants you to call him the provider? He wants you to call him by that name because that's who he is. You're welcome to call him Jesus, but you're also welcome to call him by his name, and his name is Jehovah Jireh. He calls himself by that name, saying, I am the provider, and you can call me by my name because that's who I am. Philippians, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ. Matthew chapter 6 says, therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Do you have needs? I mean, do you have needs? I've got needs. I sure am not so arrogant to think that we don't have needs. Somebody sitting here, you got needs like in your business. You got needs in your home. You've got needs among your children. You've got needs left and right. You came in here with needs, you'll leave here with needs. And I'm telling you, man, it's okay to call him by name. It's okay to take a picture of that Jehovah Jireh and say later on tonight when I talk to God and lay my head down on my pillow, I'm going to say, I hear your name's Jehovah Jireh and I've got a need. And I hear you say you're the provider. I need help. Call him by his name. He calls himself by another name, and that'd be the purifier. The Hebrew phrase for that would be Jehovah Mikdashim. I know it seems weird. If you mess it up when you're praying tonight, he's not going to be offended, okay? But he calls himself the purifier, and that shows up in Leviticus chapter 20. He says, keep my decrees and follow them. And he says, I am Jehovah Mikdashim, the one who makes you holy. I don't know about you, ma'am, but I would imagine most of us in this room like me have failed at times in our personal walk with Jesus. I would imagine that if you're going to be gut-level honest, you know the sin you've committed, the things you've said, the things you've done that you wished you could forget. And it'd be beautiful if somebody could show up in your life and just purify you, make you right again. Take that sin, take all that away, and make you right. Do you know you've got a God who calls himself Jehovah Mokadishkim? And that means that his name is, I'm the purifier. That's who I am. Call me by my name. I can show up in your life and I can make that sin go away. I can remove, scripture says, he can remove even the guilt of your sin. He can remove even the guilt of what you've done. He shows up and says, call me by my name. Call me who I am. My name is Jesus, but my name is also Jehovah Mekadishkim, and you can trust me. I'm the purifier. I'm the one who can take all the sin of what you've done, and I can make it right again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Let me give another name. He calls himself the protector. I love this one. The backstory on this is, man, the Israelites are going to get the war against these people called the Amalekites. And I know at some level you're like, I don't care about the Amalekites, okay? We have a hard enough time trying to keep up what's going on in our world today, let alone trying to borrow trouble from, you know, a few thousand years ago. But let me tell you about the Amalekites. I don't know if you've got a people group, like you shouldn't, but if you do, like, man, that group, they're kind of mean, okay? They're just a mean group. The Amalekites are that group. Like literally when the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness, the Amalekites would come in raiding mobs and they would pick off the old and the slow. They would come in from behind and any time that you wouldn't have guards back there, they would swoop into raiding parties and pick off the sick and the old and the slow and the young. They're just terrible. And they would just rob them and kill them and leave them for dead. Just a bad, bad people. And so finally they go to war against them. And in this moment, they're losing this war and Israel's about to get their tail kicked. And in that moment, God shows up. Cool story if you want to read it. You can find it, you know, in the book of Exodus chapter 17. Beautiful story of what God does. He basically raises Moses' arms and he leads them into victory. And Moses built an altar when they won that war. And he called it, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner, he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, against Jehovah Nisi. And the Lord, Jehovah Nisi, will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Through Jehovah Nisi, they won the battle. I want you to picture it this way. Imagine you're under attack. And I want you to picture the sky full of arrows coming against you. Maybe you've seen, you know, Braveheart, something like that. That was more swords and arrows. But you can picture some old movie where the sky is black with arrows headed your way. I want you to picture arrows flying with you, the sky dark with those, and all of a sudden, a banner, a shield comes up over your head, and you can hear the rattle of arrows landing all around you, hitting the ground all around you. And in that moment, you raise your head up because the silence, it fills the air after it's all over. And you look up, and not an arrow has struck you. Not a single arrow has penetrated your flesh. You look at that shield, and it's rattled with arrows, and a warrior stands over you, and he says, my name is Jehovah Nisi. And I love the way he says it in Psalms chapter 60, verse 4. He says, you've set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. So I say from Romans 8, 31, what shall we say then in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son but gave him up for all of us, will he not also, along with him, graciously give you all things? Skipping down, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, sword? He says, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor future, nor powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the beautiful thing. When you feel like you're under attack, and you feel like everyone's out to get you, and you feel like every time I look around, I feel like something else is gunning for me. I feel like something else is after me. I'm telling you, you cry out to Jehovah Nisi. You ask him, God, be my banner. Spare me from this attack. Lord, put a shield over me. Lord, help me. His name is Jesus, but his name is also Jehovah Nisi, and he wants to fight on your behalf. He wants to extinguish those arrows. When the enemy comes against you, when he comes against your family, when he comes against your life, call on his name. His name is Jehovah Nisi, and he is your banner. His name is also Jehovah Rapha, probably one you've heard before, and he's the Lord who heals. It's kind of a crazy story, and I don't have time to get into it right now, but the backstory when he calls the name of Jehovah Rapha comes from Exodus chapter 15. What happens is you get a group of people here that are literally out of water, and the water they've got is basically, for all practical terms, we'll say poisoned. It's not healthy to drink. and they don't know what to do, and they cry out to God, we don't know what to do. And what happens, he says, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha who heals you. And they throw wood into this water, crazy thing, throw wood in the water, and it's immediately purified and they can drink it. But the same thing happens through a different piece of wood called the cross. That in the moment where you were poisoned, you were in trouble, the cross shows up in your life and Jehovah Rapha shows up and deeply desires to heal you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insult at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And here it is, by his wounds, you have been healed. You have been healed. Some of you wonder, how can I speak so freely about the fact that my mom nearly aborted me? How can I speak so freely about the fact that I don't know my biological father? How can I speak so freely about this or that? Jehovah Rapha is why. He showed up in my story and has healed me. I don't have to carry the pain of all of this. I don't have to carry the agony. I've turned it over to him, and man, through his redemption power, Jehovah Rapha has healed me deep down inside. Jehovah Rapha is who showed up and has allowed me to be a better father, a better husband. He's the one who showed up and said, Jason, let me deal with the pain and the scars in your life. And he wants to do the same thing for you. You don't have to continue living in the pain of your past. And I'm not saying that you don't need to get counseling for those things. You don't need to get help for those things. You shouldn't seek counseling in all those things. But at the same time, Jehovah Rapha wants to come alongside that work and say, let me heal you from the inside out. How long are you going to carry that pain? How long are you going to carry that agony? How long are you going to carry that grudge? How long are you going to carry that anger? Or at some point, do you cry out and say, tonight, Lord, I call you by your name. You say your name is Jesus, but you also say your name is Jehovah Rapha, and I need healing. I need help. I'm hurt. I'm in pain. Show up, please, tonight in this space. Can you put me back together? He says, yeah, I can, because that's my name. He calls himself Jehovah Roy, the guide. We see that when David cries out in Psalm 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We see it again in John chapter 10, verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And when you find yourself in a place of confusion, you don't know what to do, he comes in and says, let me show you the right path. Let me show you the way to go. My name is Jehovah Roy, and I know the way. You can trust me. I'm a good guide. Just call me by my name, and I'll show up. He calls himself the commander. Jehovah Sabaoth, probably my favorite one of all, a name that I love to call him by. If you don't know the backstory of Jehovah Sabaoth, man, that's a name that for me, I just resonate with. See what's happening, the context when he calls himself Jehovah Sabaoth, the commander, the leader of armies. Israel, once again, back to the wall. Philistines are out there calling out every day for somebody to come fight. Nobody will fight. Nobody will go out there. Nobody will take on this giant called Goliath. Everyone backs away until finally David says, I'm in. I'll fight him. Let's go. So David rallies up, walks down there, says, I'm not going to wear this armor. Doesn't fit me right. He says, and I don't need this armor anyway. And David says to the Philistines, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth. That's the name that David used in that moment. He called him by the name, the God of the armies of Israel. That's what David says before he charges Goliath. So I don't know what big issue you've got in front of you. I don't know what challenge is looming in front of you, whether that's at your home or at your work, something in your life where you're looking at this thing that's in front of you and it seems so big, so ominous, you're almost intimidated to take it on. Now I encourage you to step back and say, I believe your name is Jehovah Sabaoth. And I believe I'm approaching all of this with pure and holy intent. And in your name and by your power, I want to cry out, be here with me. Help me charge into this. Help me attack this situation in your name and through your power. I call on you by who you say you are. And you say your name is Jehovah Sabaoth. And if you don't know the rest of the story, David kills Goliath in the name of host. But I also love what it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Because it's not true just for David. John says, and I looked up and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. Do you understand the armies that fight on your behalf? Do you understand what God has at his disposal on your behalf? They encircle the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and a loud voice were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Jehovah Sabaoth is who fights on your behalf. Another one, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Gideon finds himself in this place where an angel shows up and he's scared out of his ever-loving mind. They're under attack. They have no one willing to lead their armies. Gideon feels isolated, alone. He's absolutely terrified. And in that moment, he builds an altar and says, his name is Jehovah Shalom, because he sets us at peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever find yourself in a place of anxiety? You ever found yourself in a place where you can't even hardly at times, for some of you, you know what it's like, where you can't even hardly pull yourself out of bed. You can't hardly pull yourself to face that situation one more time. The anxiety in you, the frustration in you, the tension in you, the fear in you, trying to articulate, trying to even talk about it. Jehovah Shalom says, I'm peace. I can help with that anxiety. I can help with that fear. I can help with that uncertainty. Call me by my name. My name is Jesus, but my name is also Jehovah Shalom. And it's okay to call me by my name. I'll show up. I'll be there because that's who I am. And he'll be there because his name is also Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is present. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35 says, the distance all around will be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on will be the Lord is there. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There's moments where you feel like God is not available to you and he's abandoned you in your fear. He's abandoned your situation. I'm telling you, man, that's not his name. Whatever voice is telling you that God's walked out of that situation, he's walked away from your marriage, he's walked away from your child that's struggling, he's walked away from this business, he's walked away from this part of your family, I don't know what it is, but God says, no, 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 I'm not a God that walks away. I'm not a God that turns my back on his people. He says, that's not my name. My name is Jehovah Shema, and I am the presence. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he promises to put his Holy Spirit in you so that you will never, never be abandoned, never be forsaken. His name is Jehovah Shema. And my challenge and encouragement is know that he's there and call him by name. He also calls himself, and this is a critical one, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is justice. Not the kind of justice that maybe you're looking for when someone's done you wrong and you want someone to do them back. No, this is more to do with the fact that he is your righteousness. He is your Savior. Jeremiah prophesied about this in Jeremiah 23:6. And you see it show up again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where it says, God made him who had no sin to be our sin for us, so that him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's be really candid. I don't know where your sin shows up. I don't know. I don't know if it shows up in your gossip. I don't know if it shows up in your anger. I don't know if it shows up on your cell phone by looking at things you shouldn't look at. Like, I don't know where it shows up in your life. I don't know if it shows up in addiction. I don't know if it shows up in abandonment. But I would imagine if I could get some of you to be painfully, really, really raw and real, if you didn't try to fake it till you make it and you could just like level it down for what it flat out is, sometimes you don't feel real righteous, do you? Sometimes you're like, man, if people only knew me. Kind of like that kid. Man, you have no idea who I am. We can show up at a place like this and we can sing the songs. And it took me just a minute to figure out what the communion was, but I figured it out. Like trying to figure out how to take communion and try to do all the things that people do. And I'm going to try to look the part, act the part, and make sure as I shuffle through here and I eat pizza and I have the interaction with people that nobody really knows how utterly broken I really am. The truth is, some of you in here are deeply broken. Deeply, deeply broken. Like, would be embarrassing if all of a sudden we could show up on this fancy LED screen behind me, like what really went on in your life, you'd be like running for the back doors right now. Like, I'm out, I'm gone. Like tires squealing out of the parking lot as you drive away. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not his name. That's what he does. He makes you right again. His name is Jehovah Tsedekinu. He says, I'm justice. And your sin needs to be paid for. What you did needs to be able to count, but you can put that on me and I got it. Because that's my name. That's who I am. Call me by my name. My name is Jesus. But they also call me Jehovah Tsedekinu. Because I make things right that are broke. I make things right that look like they're too far gone. And he can make you right as well. Call him by his name. As you guys go through this process of grow right now, call him by his name. There's so many more dimensions than just the name Jesus. I encourage you tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your heart. But I can tell you that he's a provider when you need it. He's a purifier when you don't deserve it. He's the protector when you're under attack. And he's the healer where you hurt most. He's that guide when you don't know where to go. And he's a commander when you feel like you're facing enemies all alone. He's the peace in places where everything seems unsettled. And he's the presence when you feel like you're by yourself. And he's the justice when you deeply desire to be made right. His name is Jesus. He's the anointed. And he's here for you. I'm going to pray for you right now. I want to encourage you to take one of these names home tonight. To realize that we can get really quick about rattling off the name Jesus and saying these prayers really, really quickly. But maybe the best thing you can do tonight is go home and, like the priest, take a bit of a shower where you clean your own heart. Not necessarily physically, but spiritually. Maybe wipe the pen off a little bit, which is kind of like cleansing your mouth and your palate just a little bit before you speak his name. And you just say, hey, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, you there? I know you're there because I know your name's Jehovah Shema. I need to have a conversation with you. You know what he says? I've been waiting on you. Let's talk. Jesus, name above all name. Jesus, a name that we can trust. Jesus, I pray tonight we can understand the dimensions of who you are in ways that open up our hearts to explore, open up our hearts to learn, open up our hearts to connect. Father, we come before you tonight asking that you would reveal your character to us in ways that we just didn't know. Teach us about you in ways that we didn't realize were coming. Your name is truly above every other name. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.